We're going to start a wee bit early tonight, and what we're going to do is we're going to sing some favourites, and the music group are so talented, it's not a problem to them. So if you've got a favourite, if you'd like to call out your favourite, has anybody got a favourite song they'd like us to sing? Anybody got a favourite? In Christ Alone? Oh, sorry, that's the first one. Sorry about that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for calling out. Let's remain seated. We'll sing this through a couple of times. Thank you, Jesus. And while we're singing it, if you can think of another one, if you start to think of some other choruses or hymns you'd like us to sing. Right, we'll sing this one first, then we'll go for What a Friend. All right, okay, well, okay, that's us. That's excellent. Song, sorry. Yeah. What a friend we have in Jesus. Okay, thank you. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Oh, the way we have in Jesus.
man, what was your number? What was your song?
O Lord, my God.
Wonderful. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder. How many verses are in that? O Lord, my God. Is it How many verses? We maybe need to just... We'll do one, the first and the last verse. The first and the last verse of O Lord, my God. We do number one and number four. Okay, number one and number four. Thank you very much. To see everybody here tonight, and we want to say thank you again for your faithfulness and coming along and supporting the mission. We want to thank you for coming along and inviting your family and your friends and your neighbours along, because that's what makes it when people are burdened about other people. So thank you for supporting the mission. Keep on coming along and keep on praying that God would continue to move. I've got a lot to give thanks for, because God has been working in people's lives and saving people's souls. And the Bible tells us the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. So if angels in heaven rejoice, we should be rejoicing as well. We should be rejoicing at what God is doing, because it's God's work and God works His way, not our way. So we give God the glory for what's been happening, and we're here to rejoice in the Lord. Just to remind you, there's a lot of literature out there. You know, we brought down probably about 3,500 gospel tracts. About 3,500 gospel tracts, and there's quite a lot of them away already. So please help yourself. Take as many as you want. They're free of charge, and use them for the glory of God and giving them to people. Also, we don't uplift offerings in these meetings, but there's a free will offering. If you want to put something in, praise God. If you don't want to put anything in, praise God. But it's here, and that's why it's called a free will offering. You don't need to, you can just walk on by. So we're here to come and exalt the Lord, just to remind you that we're out in the doors day by day. We had another great day in the doors, going round, and get quite a few conversations as well. So please pray for all the seeds that's been sown. There's many houses received gospel tracts, and just pray that God would use them and speak into people's lives. So we're going to stand to sing In Christ Alone. Let's stand to sing this wonderful song, In Christ alone. Just come before the Lord and let's just be still and let's pray that God will speak into our hearts tonight. Let's pray that if you're here tonight, that God will speak into your life. If you're here and you're a Christian and maybe things are a wee bit quiet in your life spiritually, maybe there are things in your life that you know that is blocking the blessing of God, let's pray that tonight that God would speak into your life. And maybe if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior yet, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if God had to come and speak loud and clear into your heart and you to realize your need of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, there's many people, they think they're on the right way. They go this way or they go that way, but Jesus is the only way. People think they're on the right way. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but Jesus alone is the way. And that's what we pray for tonight, that that will be revealed in people's hearts. Sometimes your thinking leads us away from God, but when we turn to the Bible and read the Word of God, that leads us into the right way, and Jesus Christ is that right way. So let's just come and be still and bring your own hearts before the Lord and ask God to speak in to your hearts tonight. Let's just come and be still. Our Father, as we come to you, we thank you that we can be still and know that you're God. And Father, as we come to you tonight, we want to praise you for who you are. We want to thank you, only Father, for your love and your mercy that you have revealed to us. We thank you, only Father, for the way that you have opened up the way back to you. We thank you there is a way back from the dark paths of sin. We thank you that Jesus is that way. You've revealed to us that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father except through him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've revealed to us that he alone is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we do pray tonight, Father, for people who may be in here tonight and they may be of different thoughts concerning eternity. They may be of different thoughts concerning spirituality. But Lord, I pray tonight you'll strip them all away. That, Father, they'll realize that Jesus is the way. That he is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. He's the one that John the Baptist cried, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." He is God's sacrifice. The one who died on the cross and cried, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." But we praise you because we know that he not only died upon the cross, but 3 days later he came back to life. And now the Bible tells us that he's seated at the right-hand side of the Father, praying and interceding for us tonight. We thank you that he's seated because the job is done. The mission is completed. And we pray tonight, Lord, for those who are dead in their sins, awaken them, we pray. We pray for those who are blind spiritually, take the scales from their eyes. We pray for those who are deaf spiritually, unstop their ears. Lord, have your way tonight. Be with all those who are taking part. May they know the blessing and the anointing of the Lord as they stand up to glorify the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And Father, we'll be so quick to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand to sing our next chorus. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, a lovely one, is full of truth. So let's stand to sing this. There is a Redeemer.
Precious Lamb of God.
What's going to happen now is Gary is going to come and share his testimony. He was running a bit late tonight because he had to do his hair, because he was sharing his testimony, and it took him a wee bit longer to get it tidied up and blow dry it. So, but we thank you. You made it, Gary, and your hair's looking nice. He's got wavy hair. He's waving it goodbye. But anyway, Gary's going to come and share his testimony because it's his birthday today. It's his birthday today, so he'll tell you how old he is, and his tablets are working. So what's happened is Gary's going to come and share his testimony, and then Rebecca, who's come all the way from Glasgow to sing tonight, Rebecca's going to come and sing to us a song, and then after that, William is going to come up and share God's word. So we're going to miss out the next one, if that's okay. And aren't the group amazing? They're doing well, aren't they? Yeah, there you go. I wouldn't say they're that amazing. Don't clap so loud. We need to keep them humble. But anyway, so Gary's going to come up. Then after Gary, Rebecca. Then after Rebecca, William's going to come up and share God's word. And just to remind you, as Gary's making his way up, please come along tomorrow night as well. And then on Saturday, you've got a free day on Saturday. There's no meeting on Saturday. And then there's Sunday morning and Sunday night. And it'd be lovely to see as many out tomorrow night. Please come along. And then also have a great day on Saturday. And then on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I know you'll have your own churches on Sunday morning. If you feel you've got to go there, you go there. But then on Sunday night, it'd be lovely to see as many people come out on Sunday night as we come and preach the gospel of Christ. Okay, Gary. God bless you.
Well, Gordon, thanks for the nice, kind introduction. It didn't happen to mention I cooked a mistake, which I'm a bit annoyed about. Some light's on here. I think I'll have a tan before I'm finished. It's a wee while from I stood up here, and I'm actually probably used to more speaking to whinging farmers about all their problems. And tonight it's probably a pleasure to actually maybe speak on something a bit more positive. And maybe if you could put that picture up for me, Trevor. That's just to prove there was grass on here at one time. It's actually, this was in some old slides, and it's probably one of my favourite photos. So it is actually, because I thought it was a nice dog we had. I know there's a lot of you here probably know me, and have known me quite a long time, and some of you actually I know that come to the church here probably don't know me as long. And I have a bit of a history, and that's probably what I'm going to share with you tonight. Probably in that slide I was 4 or 5 years old, so probably that's when I was probably at my best behaviour, was in that point. You know, we farm out at West Galnach. Well, I wasn't born there. I was born in Northern Ireland. That's why I've got this strange accent, which is very useful at times. And sometimes it can go Scottish, so it'll be a wee bit mixed tonight. But when I was 10 years old, my mum and dad decided to buy a farm here. And they'd looked several places to buy a farm. And they actually bought West Galnach in August 1979. So the whole adventure started for me, I think it was on the 3rd of January, and that's when I moved over here. Now, I was brought up, you know, probably in a Christian home, a very Christian home, actually, because we went to church all the time. Life was all about church. That's one thing that I can remember. And I've sat through many a testimony. And testimony sounds quite old-fashioned, you know. But when I used to sit in the audience, I'd think, this guy's gotten up to give his testimony. You know what I used to say? I used to think, so how bad was this guy? That's all I wanted to know. And I often thought some people really spent a lot of time in talking about what all they'd done that they shouldn't have been doing. So I've tried my best tonight that I'm not going to talk about too much of what I shouldn't have been doing. But I had a privilege of being brought up in a Christian home in some ways. But it makes you a very rebellious child. Because when we moved over here, we moved from a land where nearly everybody went to church. Even they weren't Christians, they still went to church. So it was quite strange to come over here. And when I went to Sandhead School in Primary 6, and I said I went to church, but I didn't go to an ordinary church. I went to a meeting, which was a wee hall in Sandhead, a Brethren hall. So that was even more different, and that even took more explaining. So it was, you always tried to avoid the subject. But I can remember growing up as a child, it was always annoying that I couldn't do things that some of my friends would go to. And my mum or dad would always have an issue that, no, you can't go there, we don't do that. And I used to love playing football, believe it or not. I know I don't look the figure of it, but I did actually like scoring goals. And I used to play for Stonykirk Youth Club. But when was the practices? Sunday. So I never got to a practice. And all I can remember was there was the odd game was on a Wednesday night. And, you know, I loved getting to play. And I can only remember one night playing on the Bogue in Stranraer. And I had an opportunity to score a goal, but I thought everybody was shouting offside and I didn't understand it and I stopped running. And I've always regretted not getting that goal. So that's the kind of lifestyle that I brought up as a child. But, you know, when I look at, you know, I listened to Heller last night, she was saying just wee things that happened in her life that led to one thing that led to another. And the first thing that probably happened in our farm was we sold the two houses off the end of the road. And you never believe who moved into the ones at the end was this family from Manchester. And their two sons were punks. So I was into punk. They also smoked. I get into smoking. I was 12. I was the only one in my primary school that had smoked a cigarette. That's how bad it was. And I can remember many a time going up there and being under their influence. And the things I used to write in my school bag, you know, all these punk groups, I hadn't a clue who the half of them were like. But, you know, that was me under, like, some sort of peer pressure. I felt I wanted to be somebody different. And that's when I can remember growing up as a child. And you go through all these phases. So now some of you here is probably midway through this. Some of you maybe starting this. But I can tell you, there's a lot of grief. And, you know, I don't know how my mum put up with it half of the time, to be honest. But I can remember when I got involved in Young Farmers, it was probably in one way more sensible friends, but the behaviour wasn't. But I really enjoyed my Young Farmers. I enjoyed growing up here. And I'm crazy about agriculture. Maybe not as mad about it as I used to be, but I live for farming. That's all I ever thought about. And, you know, it was unfortunate my dad, when I was 14, was first diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I didn't know that at the time, but really from 14 I started farming. So basically I went to school on wet days and stayed at home on dry days. And unfortunately in fourth year we had school strikes, so that made skiving even easier. So that was the way I probably went through school. So usually when I'm speaking at any meetings with the union, I always tell them there's two types of people come out of Ireland, and that's either a saint or a scholar, and I'm one of the saints. And they usually get that I'm pretty simple in how I explain things. But I can remember being in my Young Farmers, I had so many friends in that organisation from here in Dumfries and Galloway. And that was my God. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Friday, Saturday night, phone never stopped. We're always going somewhere. It used to break my mum's heart, like, but, you know, I really enjoyed it. And it was unfortunate when I was 15 that my dad lost the power of his legs, and that would be in August 1986. And then a year later, my granny in Ireland, a really devout Christian woman, she took a stroke and was paralysed down the one side. And my mum would do nothing else, but we'd have to bring my granny home. So we did run a bit of a hospital. We had one room and my dad was paralysed from the waist down and my granny was paralysed on the one side in the other room. So we did run a bit of a hospital. And my dad used to drive me mad and my granny used to cheer me up. And that was the way it kind of worked. But my granny, she was a great soul. And, you know, there's many a story I could tell you about her, but she was really funny. But what I want to tell you tonight is wee points that spoke to me that clearly still I remember. My granny one day, she used to go one day a week to the Coronation Day Centre. She would get out for the day. And I remember this day I came in and my granny was bawling her eyes out, crying her eyes out. And I could not understand what was wrong with my granny. And I said to my mum, I says, what's wrong with my granny? Oh, don't ask, she says. She said, one of the nurses in at the home in the day told her they'd seen you in the pub on Saturday night. And she was absolutely distraught. And I can still remember that clearly. How the tears running down my granny's face was unbelievable. Just because I had been in a pub on Saturday night. And that nurse would be saying that, just being friends, good friends, say, I seen Gary or whatever. And I never forgot that. And different things happening through life. The pub up the road here. Every Saturday night without fail, that's where we all went as Young Farmers. It was a mad place. The atmosphere was great. But it used to have a dodgy fuse. And I can remember many a night having the best time of my life and the lights go out like that. You know the first thing that came into Gary's head? If that was the Lord come back the night, where would it be? And then once the lights would come back on, then I would change. But isn't it amazing? That's the little things that would go on in my mind when in these certain times. And I've always remembered these things. And I'll give you another occasion that I can remember. I had speech-making training. And, you know, I thank the young farmers a lot for speech-making, because that's why I talk so much, because that's where I got training, how to do it. And I can remember one night being at the Coronation Day Centre, and Bob Brownfield, that some of you will remember, Bob done a lot of work with us building this church. And Bob was preaching, and Bob never preached before. Well, I'd never heard him. He'd preached plenty to me in other times, because he used to live with us. And Bob preached one night, and he was good. And I can remember sitting in my seat, absolutely trembling at what he was saying. But I was trying to focus on my speech-making practice after the service. So, of course, Bob, as usual, went away over his time, like what probably I'm going to do. But Bob spoke to me clearly. And I can remember there was a solicitor guy that came to church. Thought it was a bit weird. I can remember that. But I walked out of church as soon as it come to the last hymn, because I was wanting, well, I was wanting a cigarette, and I was wanting to get to my speech-making practice. And I can remember this fella walking out after him, and I says, what is this guy wanting? And he just said to me clearly, he says, Gary, I believe the Lord was speaking to you tonight. And I says, aye, maybe it was, cheerio. And away I went, you know. But I clearly do believe God spoke to me that night. So these were little occasions that I can remember, you know, God speaking to me. But probably how it comes about why I'm speaking tonight is there was two girls come here to speak from the Faith Mission. So they did, Linda and Beverly. And some of you will remember them. Well, of course, my mum opened the house up. Oh, I've got rooms. Come and stay here. So I thought, I'm going to get Bible bashed here non-stop, night and day. But they actually were normal people. You know, they actually were good fun. They were my sort of age group. And, you know, I got on with them really well. And they used to challenge me many times. You know, why are you not a Christian? Because I can put a good front on. I can look the part. And, you know, the one thing I always told her, it's my friends. It's my friends that always put me back. Because I love my friends. And if I was to become this Christian thing, then that would all have to stop. And to really try and cut a long story short, a few months, well, probably during that period, I'd started seeing a girl, a young farmer, a girl that I really fell in love with, you know, and I thought, you know, she was definitely it. Do you know, there's always that first one where you think this is definitely it. And I was 23 at the time, and she wanted to go to university and study veterinary, and she didn't want to have this relationship anymore. And I was totally devastated, you know, for a man that was up here, living it big. All of a sudden, I was a broken man. And, you know, I struggled with that for about 6 months. And I can remember one night being in Illusions, which is a nightclub that no longer exists across from where Liddell's is. And I can remember this girl being there. And she was actually cuddling with one of my friends. And I can remember how much that hurt. And he was my best friend. And, you know, I happened to mention to my friend, who thought I was absolutely stupid. And I could understand, because if you haven't fell in love with someone, you don't actually know what they're feeling. And he actually said something to her. She exploded and gave me something that I'd never heard before, which helped me, because I thought, oh, I didn't know you had that side to you. So that was a help. But I can remember Linda clearly saying to me, you know, Gary, is that not telling you something about your friends? And I never forgot that. So anyway, after 6 months, we managed to get Linda and Beverly out of the house, but I still went along to their services, and we quite often went a Sunday night and listened to them at Glenluce. And Trevor and I were quite keen followers, because they were quite easy in the eye as well, if I was really honest. But we used to always go up there for supper on a Sunday night. And this Sunday night, I came home, and I had been reading my Bible a wee bit, but I came home that Sunday night, and I read a bit of my Bible, and I couldn't sleep. Now, I can tell you, I'm a sleeper. I don't need much sleep, but I need sleep, and I don't like it broken in the middle. So, Sunday night, I never slept. And Tuesday night, Monday night, I never slept. So, I was getting a bit agitated. It was a busy time of the year. You know why? Because Tuesday night then was last night in 1993. And when it come Wednesday, I could not tolerate it anymore. And what I decided to do, this is the very Bible I lifted, and I just went up and I just sat down in my bed and I opened it because I was totally fed up. I could not understand what was going on. And what I want you to think about is, my issue was about being different from my neighbours. I didn't want to be different. I wanted to blend in. I wanted to be the same. And this is what I opened it up at. And it's actually an old farmer in the Bible called Job. And I could remember Pastor Cameron said, I can't believe a man got saved reading Job. I can always remember him saying that. Well, I says, I did. Because in Job 21, verse 7, why do the wicked live on growing old and increasing in power? They see their children established around them, their offspring before their eyes. Their homes are safe and free from fear. The rod of God is not upon them. Their bulls never fail to breed. Their cows calve and do not miscarry. They send forth their children as a flock, their little ones to dance about. They sing to the music of the tambourine and the harp. They make merry to the sound of the flute. They spend their years in prosperity and go down to the grave in peace. Yet they say to God, leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What would we gain by praying to him? But their prosperity is not in their own hands. I stand aloof from the counsel of the wicked. And you know, you probably find this strange, but you know what really struck me? It just when it said, their bulls will never fail to breed and their cows will calve and not miscarry. And you might think that very odd, but that was very clear to me that just because that guy's not a Christian, don't think he's going to have a bad time. Don't think everything he does in farming is going to be bad. Because that's not the way it works. The fact is, when you read this, how many people gloat on their children? How many people absolutely absorb their life in their children? Because it distracts them from the one that provided them. And that's the one thing that spoke clearly to me. Because when I even look nowadays, people put a lot of effort into their children. That's what they build their life around. That's what they think that they're going to leave behind. And that's the thing that really clearly spoke to me. Now, what I want to tell you is, you know, I had to come down and tell my mum. That wasn't easy because I'd been a right rebellious. I'd held off so long. And I went down to her and I told her I was saved. And she just started to cry, you know. And I try not to do crying if I can possibly do it. But I can get a bit emotional at times. And angry, as some folk know in here. But I remember she said, you need to go and speak to Linda and Beverly. And I jumped in the car and I drove to Glenluce and I got to the caravan and I went out and I told them, I said, I got saved. You know, and they started to cry, you know. And I think the thing was that, you know, the first thing they told me, you know, Gary, when you left on Sunday night, we prayed to 4 a.m. that the Lord would put barbed wire in your pillow. And, you know, Gary never slept till he opened this book. And I slept well that night. And that was 24 years ago. So this is my birthday. I just wish I was saved when I was 2. But that's when it all happened. But there's a couple of wee things that I wanted to put to you tonight. You know, quite often I find people think, because you're brought up in a Christian home, that means you're a Christian. You're kind of, that's why you're like that. Because that's the way your family was. You were kind of bred that way. And, you know, I just want to prove to you tonight, that's not true. Absolutely not true. Because, you know, there's a verse in Ephesians that says, he predestined you to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure and will, his pleasure and will. And why I bring that up to you is that, you know, that little guy that was up there, right? That little guy was born on the 18th of December, 1969. And you know, that wee boy was supposed to be born in the 70s. So he was. And the reason of that being was, the mother that gave birth to me didn't see me. The mother that gave birth to me had to give me up. So she did. Because she had got pregnant out of wedlock. And she was a woman in Belfast who her mum had took her to a private hospital to have me and make sure that she never seen me. And all I was given away was to be brought up in a Protestant home. And in February, that's when I landed. Where you seen that picture? So, growing up as a child, you think, you feel, am I weird? Is this weird? And the one thing that I would say to you, I feel very comfortable with it. Number one, I was chosen. My mum didn't put up with me. She actually come and chose me. So she had me. But the thing that I think about, that, you know, all your friends around you, we all depend on them. But they're not going to be there for the long haul. There's only one person is going to be with us from the beginning to the end. And that's the great comfort I take when I read this word. Because I could tell you how many times I've failed in the 24 years. And I've probably failed a lot more in the 24 years after than I have. And the best way I can describe it, and I was trying to describe it in a polite way to Gordon tonight as he was standing in the milking parlour. And we're looking at a wall that's clabbered in cow poo. And when you first start that whole parlour, you know, that looks dirty. And then you start to get used to that dirt. And more goes on, and more goes on. And you get used to it, and it actually starts to look tidy. And that's like you growing up. Because sin starts to layer and layer and layer on us. And when you look back, you start to think, I can't believe I was comfortable in that situation I was in. And the thing that I find that when you come to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you for your sins, you know, that is completely clear. And that wall that poo used to stick to has now become a whiteboard. So everything that touches it doesn't dry. It just wipes off. Because we only need to be saved once. Jesus came to save us, you know, but it's up to us how we live our life. And I want to tell you, if I wanted to be one character in the Bible, it would be Joseph. Because Joseph blessed many people that didn't even believe in his God. And I would like to tell you, you know, with the work I do through the National Farmers Union representing farmers, I'm passionate about how we produce food. But, you know, I'm passionate about the souls of these farmers. Because they are going to a lost eternity. You know, it's pretty clear. And I can remember, you should have been in services when you were younger. And now I'm going to use a description here. It used to be used like the Mourne Mountains in Ireland. But here I want to talk about Ailsa Craig. Now there's a little blackbird here in Ailsa Craig. Well, flew from here to Ailsa Craig and picked a beck, just a beakful of rock. Right? When the whole of Ailsa Craig would be removed, do you know how much of eternity would be left? It wouldn't even have used up that. Now you think about it. Now, eternity is quite an old-fashioned word to me. But I can remember as a child waking up and crying with my mum, trying to understand what does forever and ever and ever and ever mean. And it's a long time. Because even us sitting here tonight, we think we're going to live forever. But we know every one of us, the day's already ready when we're going to pass from here. And we're in the time of grace that we can make that decision. And you know, I'd love to tell you, oh, you just get saved and it's just hunky-dory. It all just happens. But it doesn't. But I tell you see when lights go out, things like that, you're not scared of anything. Our pastor a few weeks ago, a statement he said clearly, you fear God, you fear nothing. And that's the one thing that I would take away tonight. If you fear God, you fear nothing. And we live in a world where we're supposed to be scared. I work with farmers that are terrified about Brexit. I'm excited because nobody knows what normal is anymore. And that's when I feel most comfortable. You know, so I hope tonight what I've said to you, and, you know, Gordon referred to this cross last night. You know, when we meet God, there won't be a mummy, a daddy, a husband, a child. There'll just be God and you. That's it. There's no other wee bits and bobs and somebody will be holding your hand and giving you a bit of guidance. There's just you and him. So don't let anybody distract you. But tonight, take away from it that, you know, I'm happy about my birthday. I'm just sad it's so far away, 24 years. But, you know, I woke up at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning thinking, I'm sure I got saved this week. And it was just I happened to have a picture on my phone of the date that Linda and Beverly had put in the Bible for me. And that's how I knew it was this week. And that's why I really felt that I wanted to share this tonight. Because the other thing I want to say about Joseph, Joseph talked about the 7 lean years and the 7 fat years, or the 7 lean cows and the 7 fat cows. You know, I don't want to talk about material things, but I think the last 7 years, we've been in the lean years when it comes to spiritual things. You know, someone said to me last week, when you go on the internet, I'm very Googleable, because you just need to put in Gary Mitchell dairy farmer, and there's loads of stuff comes up. But when you put Gary Mitchell Christian in, nothing comes up. And that's the bit that I want to see different in 7 years, the next 7 years. You know, and I really feel there's a lot of exciting things are happening. God's moving in our town. He's moving in our people. You know, and I think we need to get excited about that. I think it's exciting. The young people have come this week. What's going on in our church, the band, everything. It's fantastic. So I just hope tonight you take something away with you, that you're going to make that change. And don't let any distraction, please do not say, what could I need to change to get saved? You don't do it that way. You get saved and it all happens, I can assure you. Because I'll tell you why. I become the chairman of my young farmers. I became chairman of my God 2 weeks before I got saved. My first committee meeting when we set the syllabus for the year was to sit down with 13 young farmers and tell them, I got saved. And I had a church here praying for me that that could happen, because I thought these guys are going to laugh their heads off. And they all sat there and took it. And I explained why I could no longer take this job. And I know a lot of people in Dunfees and Galloway couldn't understand why this guy had took this post and then stepped down from it. So it's nice tonight actually to refresh the reason why I did. And there's lots of things I could go on, but I need to stop. But, you know, it's great what God's doing. And it's great what he's doing in my life. You know, and I'm looking for big changes. And I'll hold Jeff to that one. Hopefully my behaviour improves, Jeff. Because I can tell his staff can be frustrating sometimes. And, you know, one thing is when you've got good men helping you, it makes a big difference. And it's the same when you're in a good church and they're helping you, it makes a big difference. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. It's lovely to be here with you all tonight. Gavin and I have been itching to get down all week, so we're really grateful we get to be with you tonight. Tonight I'm going to sing you a song which has meant a lot to me over the past year. It's a song that you mightn't know, but the words are really special. It's called Lead Me to the Cross.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul, remember redemption's hill where your blood was spilled for my ransom, and everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lead me, lead me to the cross. Tempted and trialed, human. The Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen, and everything I once held dear, where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lead me, lead me to your heart, to your heart. Lead me to your heart, to your heart. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Myself, I belong to you. Lead me, lead me, lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. And rid me of myself, I belong to you. Lead me. Cross.
Praise the Lord, what a wonderful song. I know you're probably a little bit disappointed because Gordon said that William was supposed to be preaching. I'm afraid he made a wee mistake. Just have a short word of prayer. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your presence here, Lord. I thank you, Father, for bringing us here tonight, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would just take control, Lord. And that your will be done. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not going to speak for long. I'm just going to share a few thoughts with you. I just want to begin just by reading a verse out of the Bible. It's Hebrews chapter 9. And it's verse 27. And this is what it says. It says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." I'll read it again because it's very short. It says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." And really, if I have a purpose for standing up here now and speaking, it's that you would grasp that truth. That there is a judgment. One day you will leave this planet. Your soul will leave your body. Your body will go down into the grave. Your soul will leave. You'll stand before God on the day of judgment. The Bible says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." You will be there by yourself. Your whole life will flash before your face. And you will have to give an account of your life. What will you have to give an account for? Every lie. Every time you've stolen. Every wicked thought. Every evil deed. Every time you've taken the name of Jesus Christ as a swear word. Every time you've said that hurtful thing. Every time you've broken God's law. You will have to give an account to God. And what will you do when God says to you, "Why have you done this?" The Bible says every mouth will be stopped and the whole world will become guilty before God. There'll be no excuses then. You have excuses before the preacher. There's no excuses before God on the day of judgment. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Have you ever been caught? When you was a child, did you ever get caught doing something wrong? Did you ever get caught doing something by your mom and your dad that you shouldn't have been doing? Can you remember that feeling that came over you, that fear of being caught? I want to tell you, dear friends, that you've been caught red-handed. God has seen it all. God has seen your whole life, Everything you've ever done, God has seen it. The Bible says that God has a book of remembrance. The Bible says that the dead, both small and great, will one day stand before God and the books will be opened. The Bible says the books will be opened. You might say, well, I don't remember what I've done, but God remembers everything. It says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Are you ready? Are you ready? Ask yourself that question now. As you're sitting there, ask yourself that question. Are you ready to stand before God on the day of judgment? Are you ready? Because if you are not ready and you stand before God, I want to tell you that there is a place called hell. Jesus Christ said it is hell fire. Why else would God send his own son to die upon the cross if there was no place called hell? If God was not going to punish sin, why would he send the Lord Jesus Christ? The reason why is because it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And the fact is we've all broken God's law and we've all sinned against God and we need some way of being saved. We need some way of getting right with God, and we cannot do it by good works. We cannot do it by going to church. You cannot do it by coming to a gospel meeting. Even if you came every night to this meeting, it would not do it. You cannot do it by reading your Bible. You cannot do it by saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus Christ said, if you do not have the Son, then you do not have the Father. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way to get right with God. That's why God sent him, to save your soul. Why? Because you deserve it. Did Jesus come because we deserve God saving us? I want to tell you, no. You deserve hell. You deserve hell. We all deserve hell because we've broken God's law. So why did God send Jesus Christ? There's a verse in the Bible that says, God is love. Wow. God is love. Yes, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. But because God is love, I want you to know that I can stand at the judgment seat before the holy God and he will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I can stand before God on the day of judgment and God will say to me, come into my kingdom. God will say to me, my child. Did you know when I die and I stand before God, God will see me as completely righteous, pure, as though I'd never sinned. I'm not afraid of death. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. That is why. Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior tonight? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That verse goes on. This is what it says. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's as simple as that. We must look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save us. How can Jesus Christ save those who have broken God's law? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ took our punishment upon himself. He died in our place. Why? Because God is love. That's the only answer. That's the only reason. He died in our place. On the third day, he rose from the dead. The Bible says that if you look unto Jesus, he will appear without sin unto salvation. All of your sin can be taken away. You can be right with God. There's a little poem that I've got here. life is so short. We think that life will go on forever. We put to the back of our minds that everybody else is going to die, and we think that we will never die. And we put it to our minds, but life is so short, and we live for things that mean nothing, absolutely nothing. This poem says this. It says, "It will not make much difference, friend, 100 years from now, if you lived in a stately mansion or on a river scour, if the clothes you wear are tailor-made or pieced together somehow, if you eat beefsteaks or beans in cake 100 years from now. It will not matter your bank account or the make of car you drive, for the grave will claim all your riches and fame and the things for which you strive. There's a deadline that we all must meet, and no one will be late. It won't matter then all the places you've been, each one will keep that date. What matters, friend, the earthly gain, for which some men will always bow, for your destiny will be sealed, you see, 100 years from now." 100 years from now, everybody in this room will be into eternity. Where will you be? It says that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I want you to know that tonight you can be saved. Tonight you can get right with God. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation." What are you waiting for? There's life in Jesus Christ. There's mercy in Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There's grace with Jesus Christ. There's peace with God in Jesus Christ. What are you waiting for? Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Stop trusting in your religion. Stop trusting in your church. Stop trusting in yourself. People say, "Well, God knows my heart." God does know your heart. Do you know what God says about your heart? He says it is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's what God says about your heart. You need a new heart. Jesus Christ can give you a new heart. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. And I want you to love him as well, because he is worthy. He is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of every breath you can give him. There's a hymn and it says, "All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransomed powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet run in his ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus." Jesus is worth every second that you live. Every breath that you take, Jesus is worth it all. And you need him. And it's about time you came to him and gave your life to him and lived for him, because he is worthy. Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and get right with God? You have a choice. We're going to sing a closing hymn. And it's quite a cheerful hymn. And what it says is, it says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Okay, now this hymn is a song that celebrates the work that Jesus Christ does in a person's life when they come to him. And as we sing this hymn, I want you to honestly ask yourself, as you sing this hymn, can you sing it in all honesty, or are you just singing lies? Ask yourself, is this hymn true about me? Has Jesus come into my heart? And I want to leave it open tonight. If God has been speaking to you in this short period of time, if God has been speaking to you and you want to get right with God, and you want this hymn that we're going to sing to be true about you and about your life, then I ask you, please come and speak to one of the workers, to Gordon or William or myself, or speak to somebody, and we'd love to speak to you about Jesus and pray with you. But let us not forget that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. In Jesus Christ there is salvation. Let us stand to sing this song. This evening, and you know that Jesus has not yet come into your heart, and you want to get right with God, then please do not leave without speaking to somebody about your soul. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your great salvation. Thank you, Lord, that though there is a judgment, you've made a way for us to be saved, to be forgiven, to be washed, to be cleansed, to be made new. And I thank you, Lord, for each of us, Lord, that know you, Lord. I thank you that Jesus has come into our heart. And I thank you, Lord, for your love and for the joy that you bring and for the peace that we have, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those who do not know you and they're not ready to face you at the judgment. I pray, Lord, that even tonight you would save their souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please stay for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and talk, and we'd love to speak to you. Thank you.